Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Aud Firmin is a London-based spiritual mentor, an intuitive business coach and practitioner, renowned for her transformative work in blending Reiki healing, psychic insight, and soulful coaching. Her approach integrates strategic guidance with spiritual wisdom, empowering clients to reconnect with their deepest selves. Known for helping individuals and couples realign, recharge, and rise, Aud creates space for authentic connection, sensual exploration, and meaningful intimacy. With 12 years in the tech industry and a passion for bridging the spiritual with the practical, she guides seekers and entrepreneurs on journeys of self-discovery, psychosexuality, and energetic alignment. Aud's work celebrates the power of intimacy, presence, and purpose, both personally and professionally. Just a quick side note. So for the first time ever, I have two podcasts, one focused on intimacy, one focused on empathy. And Aud has been kind enough to agree to be the first person ever to do both. She might change her mind after today and say, that was it, I don't want to do any more. But hopefully I'll speak to her today and later in the week as well. And I'll put them both up with links to the opposite. So thank you so much for doing this. And we already had a brief chat today and a brief chat a few weeks ago. And I loved your energy. So I just wanted to get you back on and to talk to you and just to listen and learn, really, if that's okay.
No, thank you so much, Andrew. And I really appreciate the opportunity in being in both podcasts.
So I just wanted to start by taking you back a little bit and trying to get a sense of who you were when you were growing up in your formative years. Were you very confident about your body, your brain, your teenage self? Were you a very confident teenager? Would your teenage self recognize who you've become today?
Absolutely not. So yeah, when I was a child, I was recognized with like these big blue eyes, and I always had this energy that you can call it as sexual, that will attract people's attention, not necessarily for beauty or shape, but you know, like this kind of little je ne sais quoi. But for me, it was bringing shame to me, because I've had, without going through too much details, some interaction with my family where I felt like it was like it had crossed my boundaries, and it didn't make me feel safe. And so, from a very young age, this energy that attracted the attention to men, especially, made me feel really unsafe. And at the beginning, when I was a teenager, I would cover myself with, you know, this massive white t-shirt. But I also was one of the first women to be shaped. And, you know, at 11 years old, and people will laugh at it and say, hey, we can see your shape. And for me, it was like, oh my God, it can't happen. And so, no, to answer your question at the beginning, it was like, I need to hide as much as possible. But what I didn't understand at this time is I couldn't hide this energy. And this was a power, but I discovered it later on.
And what do you think was the catalyst for becoming more comfortable in who you were?
So, you know, again, and this is what also led me to coaching and holistic. I've had a journey where, unfortunately, in my first job in London, I got sexually abused by one of the directors, which led to a massive burnout and later on a suicide attempt. So that was like horrible. And again, it was the idea of like, oh my God, I'm a 23 years old woman who is going to be seen as someone who tried to seduce one of the director or whatever, which was absolutely not the case. And like the amount of shame and conditioning, etc. And again, like the idea of like wanting to disappear. So that was like the going to hell moment, which also led to, and by the way, this man is still out there and has had several victims, but I didn't do anything about it until now or for now. Yeah, this led me to this massive spiritual awakening journey where I had to find ways to reconnect to myself, to let go of shame. And this is where I started, like, this journey of meditation, yoga, embodiment, and later on, tantra, dance, etc. And I understood that, especially I'm absolutely not a feminist. I love men. I don't put all the men in the same bucket, of course. But I understood that one of the big deviants of society is that sex is taboo. And no one really taught us about having sex. No one taught us about sexual power. And so then you have people who go through porn, and no judgment, but you know, they get their education their way, but there is a lot of repression. So I was like, is there a way to reconnect to our power while having this ethical and this alignment? And that's why that was on my personal journey and also business journey.
I'm sorry to hear you went through that experience. Yeah, there's still too many men in particular that have a particular view of things that is just wrong. It's just fundamentally wrong. And I do think there is a challenge with society and how we define sex as a word and as a concept. I think a lot of people have almost a mental hierarchy of sex. Mm-hmm. So penetration, penis and vagina, typically is hierarchy. Oral sex, and it's sort of this hierarchy. If we could somehow replace the word sex with pleasure and intimacy, because it can be incredibly intimate experience to hold hands with somebody, to look at somebody, to talk to somebody, to give somebody a massage or whatever. But we almost have this thing that unless intimacy ends in penetration, ejaculation, then that wasn't sex. And it's really, it's such a challenge in society that we still see sex as being, I mean, because we don't have good sex education.
Absolutely.
Certainly in the UK and the US, it's very much around fear-based and prevention. So don't get pregnant, don't get a sexually transmitted disease. Nothing about what pleasure should and could feel like. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for your comment. But you know, and I don't wish that to anyone what I went through, but I really value this and I honor my past because this is what led me to really step on my purpose and to guide others. And that's why also, you know, I work with a lot of men, you know, and it is so beautiful to see that, you know, through spiritual coaching and helping them to, you know, reclaim their emotions, their intuition, etc., that there is this heart opening. And as you said, I think, let's say in the US, but now all over in the world, there is this kind of like taboo.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
But then if you look at the pop star videos, I was looking at one of the videos of Sabrina Carpenter, and I'm like, oh my God, you know? And then it's like an over-sexualization of young women, and you're like, everyone is completely confused. And just before this call, this podcast, we were talking about like younger society, and it's very confusing for them, the genders. And I'm not saying like it's bad, but it's like they are bombarded with information. And as you said, like behind like the desire of sex, there is like this need of being connected and being seen, you know? And so that's why you will say like a lot of people, as you say, it's like goes to penetration or whatever, but there is such a sensorial word and a massive energetic word that is missed because it's just like going to an end. Mm. Also, all these things that I've learned in Tantra and Neo-Tantra about expressing desires and giving, receiving, working with a different energy are absolutely beautiful. But also, I never officially done, like, for example, Tantra workshop, because I know that, maybe one day I will do it. But I know that some people who do it don't necessarily have the right intention. And that's why calling myself a Tantra practitioner, for me, it will be a big step, you know. And it was a case as well for psychic medium, because it's like, my God, you know, they can have so much ideas about it. But I guess it's all about the intention and the safety created. And sometimes, yes, it's spirituality, but also let's talk about sex. It's also sex and intimacy. Let's not just say enlightenment, because this is also where the limit is very thin and the manipulation can come in as well, with people that can be very vulnerable.
And how would you define, or what words would you use in relation to energy and spirituality? What, when you talk about energy and spirituality and understanding our own vibrations, what do you mean by that?
That's a good question and a big question. So to keep it simple, I really believe, and who knows the truth, but that we are like spiritual being, meaning we have a body and a spirit. And that's why also psychic mediumship, meaning being in contact with people who passed, dead people, is possible, is because we are all connected at a spiritual level. The idea of time, space is completely irrelevant. And so that's why when you send Reiki, which is energy healing, to someone in the US from London, it works, because we are in the same holographic and energetic world. So when we don't know or we haven't experienced this concept, it looks like it's impossible. So I always encourage people to be skeptical and to experience it and to see it. Energy is something as natural as, you know, we were talking about social media addiction just before this podcast. When you binge social media, it feels like it covers the needs. It feels like a good energy is more. When you stop, you feel like completely drained. So again, this is called energy. Nothing mystical about it. But if you want to go into the mystical a mystical realm, you can see since thousands of years, for example, in Asia, in India, they saw that we have like this chakra, which is like the energetic center. And let's say you procrastinate, it means that your solar plexus is unbalanced. So when you know how to work with your energy, you don't have burnout or that, not that much. You are productive. You can heal from grief and burnout and heartbreak. You can download information more easily. So that's what I'm doing as a work, is like democratizing the spiritual, intuitive and energetic tools that are our true nature. And we don't need to play priestesses, unless you want, of course. You don't need to play the witch, because this is part of us. You know, we can keep our identity as corporate, modern, or hippie people, and be who we are and use these tools that are native to us.
Do you think almost the society that we're in, which is increasingly technologically driven, it's increasingly short time frame, it's all very much a desire for things now, has made us feel more nervous or reluctant or hesitant to explore energy and spirituality? And the reason I ask, I guess, is that sometimes you fear what you don't know, even if it's exploring something about yourself. You know, everybody could benefit by going to therapy or whatever, but a lot of us, I think, well, I'd rather not know. Do you think that sometimes we just have this fear to truly know ourselves?
That's a great question. Yeah, totally. I feel like people are afraid of their own powers. Why people have forgotten about it, I feel, and you know, I have maybe an alternative view of the world. I feel like, you know, it benefits like some kind of powers of control. And a lot of us are manipulated and kept under a little box at a certain level of consciousness through fear, through distractions. But again, human being, and you see them around you, if you know a person, they are made, and I'm not saying they are bad people, there are no bad people, but people want something good in their life. People want something beautiful for other people. So I feel that they are at play without going to like the conspiracy theories, not too much at least, is there are some forces that divide human beings, and it is our role at individual and collective level to do the inner work in order to have this reconnection to ourselves, go through our fears that we have, but these fears that are, again, not native to us, you know? I've coached more than 900 clients over 2 years, and it's always the same programming. I'm talking and I'm repeating myself. It's a programming. It is exactly the same words. And when you see that, you're like, okay, well, once you know the key to remove the fear of being seen, the fear of intimacy, the fear of men, then people are free. And we're not talking about 12 years of therapy here. We're talking about a few sessions of coaching and energetic and intuitive. So this is where I saw through my own experience and my clients, it is much more from the, it's much more than intellectual perspective. You know, it's like something around consciousness.
Yeah.
And the soul remembering who they are. And this is where you see that sex, love, light is all the same. It's all this connection to source. And why are people addicted to sex? Some of them is because they are lacking this fundamental link to the source that you will call God, that you call light, that you call Gaia. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. And once they have this connection, then they are at peace with themselves. They don't want to go to war. They don't have, like I said, they're not, when you see war, it's like thriving, being thirsty of energy, conquering other people for their energy. So I feel like life is in this sense is very simple. It's all about energy. Once we know how to tap into our energy and not being afraid of accessing people's energy while keeping our boundaries, then there is this natural harmony that happens in this world. I hope it answered your question. I went a bit.
That was a great answer. Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why we still have problems in society with addictions. So whether it be an addiction to social media, it be an addiction to porn, it be an addiction to alcohol, to drugs, whatever, it's that we're not necessarily seeking, we're certainly not seeking better alcohol or better porn or whatever. We're seeking something, but I think we don't realize that actually what we're seeking is energy and the ability to be able to access the energy, because we're never going to find that by watching more and more porn or more and more extreme porn or drinking more and more and more. We're just not. It's going to go the opposite way. It's going to pull us away from it in a way. Mm-mm. And I think but it's something that isn't talked about. People don't talk about the need to understand energy and connectivity and how we're all connected at an atomic level. We just don't. It's not, and if somebody starts talking about it, you think, what are they talking about? Give me a drink. It's hard. So when people come to you initially, first of all, it's obviously a big decision to come and talk to you, but then how do you help them be comfortable in their vulnerability, if that's the right way to phrase it?
Mm-mm, absolutely. Well, they come to me, it's like you and I connecting it. There is something that can't be explained. And that's also why I find it very hopeful for the world. It's like, yes, of course, you have the work you put out there and the amount of efforts. But once you are connected to yourself and your purpose, or at least have an intention and ask for help, you don't even have to be spiritual. You say, okay, please. I need to find a beautiful person like Andrew and let's talk about these amazing topics. Then again, it's like a matrix. It's an holographic field, very intelligent. It brings you these people. And so for me, the people who are attracted to me, to my energy, are lovely people, really heart-centered and kind, and this beautiful balance between, you know, modern rawness, vulnerability, and spirituality. So they might not be completely open to their spirituality, to their sexuality, their intuition, etc., but there is this kind of pain that is in there where they're like, I just can't continue anymore. And again, we were talking about conditioning. It is always the same words that they say to me when they find me. It's like, I'm at a crossroad. I'm feeling stuck. I'm lost. I feel there is something more. And I often tell them, but, you know, every time I tune psychically into them, but often it's the same thing. It's like, the good thing about this pain, it shows you that you are bursting to the next level, to the new chapter in some way. And so that's why, you know, we were talking about my past. I really value pain without being sadomasochist. It's, again, it helps you to get to this level. And, you know, that's how human beings, human life often works, through challenges, but not being so affected, understanding the mechanism of life. And so I guess they open very quickly. I work with nearly 50% of men in my practice, which is huge for a holistic practice. Normally it's mostly women. Mm-hmm. But I guess men resonate with me again because there is this kind of safety, groundness, and they know we can talk about anything, you know. So if they need to talk about sexuality, a couple or whatever, they know I wouldn't be... I wouldn't be judging them, and it's being compassionate. And at the same time, you know, having some boundaries, because of course, you know, men-women dynamic, it can happen, or woman-woman depending the orientation. But yeah, everyone is yearning. Everyone is yearning for this intimacy, as you were mentioning, and intimacy doesn't even have to be sexual, doesn't even have to be through touch. It is like, I'm opening my heart, I'm showing my shadows, and I'm seeing that my shadows, my pain is actually beautiful, and that's what makes me unique.
I was going to ask you about boundaries, because one of the, and you alluded to this back to when you were a child, you obviously have this energy, and I can very much imagine as a man coming to see you, and perhaps you're the first person that's truly understood or allowed me to tap into myself or begin. And it's very easy to sort of misinterpret that as more than this. How do you stop your clients falling in love with you? How do you keep the boundary?
That's a good question. And I had a situation lately, and it's not something I'm proud of, because obviously I want the professional balance to be kept. And, you know, because of my energy, my warmth, I'm also becoming often friends or close to my clients.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, some people are like, oh, I will never be friends with my clients. Some people, whatever. For me, I also have to accept my energy as it is. And it's part of like this unshaming process I've been through. Mm-hmm. And yeah, lately, for example, I had a client who was telling me about a woman he fell in love with, and I'm a psychic, so I put two and two together very quickly. And at the beginning, I tried to protect him in the sense of, like, I didn't want to shame him, be like, I pretended I didn't understand. And I was like, look, yeah, like a film, look, maybe you are in this vulnerable time in your life. And this is where, you know, psychic medium and coaches and therapists have to be super careful, because there will always be a power dynamic, you know. Someone who's feeling lost and vulnerable, who has never felt seen in their life, when they feel seen, yes, they're going to sometimes project this feeling of adoration, of deification, etc. So the moment I feel it energetically, I generally have a conversation with them and say, look, we are all now at the same level, but sometimes, you know, you can't control people. And so this person went into like this process that I call limerence, which is very obsessive and to thinking about me. And, you know, I was like, at some point I put the cards on the table and I was like, look, this is not good for you. this is not good for me either. And I understand why it happened, but for your own growth, it is better that we stop here, you know? Because it's okay to feel a bit enamored, it's okay to have some appreciation, but he was going through a lot of pain, you know? And reflecting back, there is nothing that could have been avoided because, you know, he had this emotional lack. Mm-hmm. And so I told him, look, this is what happened in this moment. And the best way to stop limerence is not by continuing sessions. It's impossible. It's really to have a break. And so it's better if I recommend you to another coach. It's not a rejection, but it's really for your own protection, your own safety, and having like this professional space. Yes, appreciation, but this is too much. And he understood it. I mean, it was very painful for him. But I know he will learn from it, and he's a good person, and he will move on from it. But yes, it can happen. Luckily, over the 900 people, I had maybe one or two situations like this, and generally, it's just a little bit of correction, and it's all good.
And when you meet with your clients and spend time with them, and regardless of the topics you're talking about, how do you almost cleanse your energy afterwards so that you're not carrying parts of their potential trauma, questioning, confusion with you? How do you stay pure is the wrong word, but how do you keep your energy field so it's not completely merged with theirs?
Yes, that's a very good question. And that's also why I'm very surprised with all the, I call it neo-tantra, because tantra, again, is more like non-sexual. That's why I'm quite surprised with all the so-called neo-tantra workshops in the world. It's like, you don't do anything then after that to clear the energy, to disconnect. And it's like, do you even understand what you're doing right now? It's like, it's like people who play with magic and say like, oh my God. So that's why I stepped away from it. And I'm like, no, people don't understand the emotional, physical, and spiritual impact of doing these things. So be very careful. So I guess to answer your questions, for 6 years, I didn't launch this business because I thought I would be too sensitive. I wouldn't be able to maintain good boundaries and I will be sucked up with all these things. And the reality is, you know, through Reiki, through meditation, through mindfulness, I am not impacted at all by my clients' emotions. Doesn't mean that I put a wall, but I have a very clear view. But even if it will happen, what I will recommend to people is, doing some Reiki, if you do or receive some Reiki, go have a shower, energy, like water really clear, go outside for a walk. I had a session with a client for Reiki this morning and she was really dense, so I literally opened the window for her to have the energy circulating. So everyone, even without energetic session or client session, should be aware of their energy, and when it feels a bit off, ask yourself, what can I do? Should I sing? Should I take a bath? So that you go back to balance. Because energy work is like brushing your teeth, basically.
And when did you realize you had psychic abilities and be able to read people, etc.? Was that something you encountered quite young and you almost stepped away from it? Or is it something that you looked for and it came to you? How did that manifest?
It was a mix of both. So when I was young, I was terrified of the dark because I would see some stuff and I'd be like, no, it's not happening. It's my imagination. And I will have like, now I understand psychic attacks, but then I will sing and then it will disappear. And at that time, I didn't understand that I was modulating the frequency in order for these things to shift. And same, I will be quite quiet and I will perceive so much things very close to the natural world and being able to interact with water, move water, interact with animals, etc. But then, like, you know, you grow up, you kind of be like, okay, I have to stop being a weirdo. Never left me completely. I have two clients who gave me a weird cup, like, stay weird. But yeah, like the big one was, so I lost my dad in 2009 after a heart attack, and I repressed the grief for 3 years. Three is actually a big number in numerology, because I didn't know what to do with it, and I wanted to be, I was always with my savior archetype being there for my family, until like this thing with the abuse in the company, all this synchronicity happened and I just exploded. And I moved back after recovering from Paris and like this like suicide attempt, I moved back to London again. And quite funny, synchronicity. I lived in a room that I rented in Elephant and Castle that was haunted. I know. And it was the beginning of my meditation journey. I was learning meditation, but I had like the door opening by itself, the computer playing at night. Again, like psychic demonic stuff, like feeling touch. I felt like I was going literally crazy. Or I thought I was crazy, like officially branded. And when I asked my Tibetan meditation teacher, he told me, oh, yes, you're great at meditation and that's your psychic abilities. And I'm like, how do I stop this? I tried to cleanse the place, but the spirit wouldn't go. And I had lots of spirit and psychic events in my life in Bali, or people would come to me because they were possessed. Well, I was working in technology, you know, I was at Trainline, at Stagecoach. I didn't ask anything to anyone. And so I decided to stop being afraid, and I trained as psychic medium at the College of Psychic Studies in London, which is a college that's trained the best psychic medium since 1882. And in a matter of months, I became a professional because, you know, again, this is things, it's not to say I'm special, it's just like things that you've done probably in previous lifetimes.
Yeah.
And again, I resisted this path because I come from this Parisian posh anti-spiritual background. So calling myself a psychic medium was like, go burn me right now. But then I saw how much healing it was providing to people, and that I could practice this art, because for me it's an art, with a lot of mindfulness, a lot of care, making sure that I was not taking people's power away, empowering them, you know, telling them, whatever I tell you psychically, please be skeptical, see if it resonates, like learning to earn that power, because so many people want to give their power away. And yeah, massive breakthrough for them, for me being guided in my life. And so that's why now I live my life mostly through my psychic and spiritual prompt. And this takes me to amazing places like Sedona or meeting you. And that's also what I teach people personally and in business. Because once you're connected to source and these psychic abilities, life is much easier and fun. Long answer.
No. It was, you know, a lot of things you said then really resonated. And maybe this is why we're talking now. But so my, I think I said before, so my mum died 2 years ago. My dad died about 6 months ago. Mm. And I have exactly the same thing where I haven't grieved. Mm-hmm. I think for a couple of reasons. One is that I was on antidepressants for 30 years.
Yeah.
I've now been off them for a few months, which is great. Altogether. So I'm clean again now. And I think there was that fear of being stuck in the grief. Mm-hmm. So if I let the grief in, what good is it going to do? How's it going to benefit me? Mm. And that fear of not being able to get out of the grief. Because I think there's still this thing with I saw a therapist for a while and it wasn't really good, because it was very, very much always about the what was in my head. Mm. And I tend to feel things somatically. So in my body, in my gut, I have stomach pain or back pain, like, or whatever. I can sort of feel a mass sort of thing, if you like, feel a physical yeah. sensation. And the therapy is very much about, but what do you think, and what do you think, and what happened? And it was very, and so we sort of stopped and didn't really move forward. So it was almost that, yes, if I let the grief in, does it become this sort of this stone and then sticks, and I'm sort of stuck with it, really. Mm. But it feels like the I've no idea even if there's a question here, but just I'm just talking now. But it was almost this allowing a sort of a degree of comfort to explore the spiritual side of things,
yeah,
and to understand whether there's a connection I still need to make, or there's a closure I still need to seek, or yeah. So if this is not asking for the free therapy, but if a client sort of presented to you saying, look, you know, I struggle to grieve and I don't know why. Obviously, I love my parents, or I love my wife or my husband or whatever. We're incredibly close, but I just don't seem to be able to grieve, to accept that that's happened and accept that as part of my life. What? how would you handle them?
Yeah,
what would you say?
And you know, like, thank you so much for sharing, Andrew. For me, my role as a psychic medium and intuitive business coach or spiritual coach in this sense is easy because I feel everything in my body. And it's not overwhelming. It's not like I'm sucking your energy up. But, you know, like when you were talking, I could feel like your throat and your heart, which makes sense from a chakra perspective of like heartbreak and how to express it, and also intuitively how do you stand as a man, like as a family man and as a man in this world, and I can tell you that what I see as beautiful in this practice of psychic mediumship and spiritual life coaching and Reiki all together is like it's very holistic. So it's not just, as you said, like, yeah, tell me about your relationship with your dad. No, it's like, you know, and by the way, I mean, I don't want to make you feel, I mean, if you are emotional, it's beautiful anyway, but your dad is with you, you know, there is a lot of love. And there are this part of ourselves that is not being expressed, you know, and that's where like society is kind of missing the corner. And we will always be connected to our ancestors. You know, like this, and it's not like your ancestor was with you. It's like literally, my relationship with my dad was a bit turbulent when he was in the living world because he was alcoholic, he was really depressed. And again, like the relationship with me was sometimes a bit borderline in terms of sexual energy. And when he passed away, it was tragic for me, but my relationship with him in the spirit world is incredible. And he's here as well. And I was very skeptical as well. But when I received so many readings from people who had no idea who he was, I couldn't doubt, you know. So that's why I encourage people, be careful when you go to a psychic medium, because have your like little antennas to see if it's a charlatan or not. But there is such a healing process to be able to talk to our ancestor, to our dad, to receive messages. And to see them as guides. So for me, the grieving process is intense and beautiful. It's not linear. Like people tell you, oh, yeah, in 3 months it's done. No, you know.
Yeah.
It's through waves, but it is a heart-opening process as well. So it's all these things that you haven't been able to tell your dad that you'll be able to tell in the spirit world. And literally you feel the energy, you feel the shift within yourself. And then knowing... Again, we were talking about like this intelligent universe that you are able to work with them, to be guided in life, and literally receiving answers through people telling you or like through a book. It's incredible. So it is absolutely normal in Asian, African traditions. It's coming back now. And I don't even know how people live without it, you know, now that I... But your guide is your dad is your main spirit guide, and he's here. So it's more like a matter for you to know how to connect with him, and I will teach you. You know, we'll have a session together after the podcast whenever you're free, and you'll see it's super healing, and I don't know, it's one of the most magnificent things you can experience in your life, and this will help like all these emotions to flow, and you'll see that you don't need to be afraid of grief. It's actually very beautiful.
What a wonderful answer. One of the things that, that people carry with them, not necessarily from people passing, but from previous relationships. So people have had relationships. We've had different partners, different girlfriends, boyfriends, and lovers, or whatever. And some of those relationships don't always end well, and we potentially carry mental wounds or almost barriers to allowing ourselves to enjoy a sensual relationship with somebody else because we have something that's sort of blocking us in a way. How do you help people almost free themselves from those previous relationships? Because because I think there's often a case where we, even though somebody external would have a very different view, we can sometimes blame ourselves for a failed relationship, for a difficult situation. So I wasn't good enough, or I wasn't this, or I wasn't that. And I'm like, it's going to be the same in the next relationship. How do you help people enjoy a fulfilling relationship?
So same here. Very holistic processes with lots of different avenues. I mean, and without being overwhelmed because everything falls intuitively, but there is the energetic cords that keep you sometimes stuck to this other person. And we all have the power to release it, but we don't know how. So, you know, we were talking about my clients who had limerence with me. So this is like shows like a massive cord, you know, and the more you have like this social media interaction and this in-person, the cords become bigger and bigger. So to answer your question, I believe that we go through cycles in our life, you know, and this is where spiritual life coaching helps super, super well. It's understanding what are the patterns, you know. If you look at your past relationship, even if it's different looks or whatever, the same qualities and challenges will be there. And to recognize this, to see also how you are in the relationship. So, for example, relationship for me at the beginning was a big one. And I had like a very low self-worth before, and I kind of had the pattern of putting people on a pedestal, giving them so much love, etc., very quickly. And see how like the dynamics are. So being aware of your energy, how you feel with this person, what kind of person you choose and repeat, and also linking it back energetically to like the patterns of your parents. So it's all the energy work, like the subconscious, the inherited belief system. And this, again, you can release with Reiki, psychic, and spiritual life coaching. And also understand, on top of it, is it like something to, is it aligned in terms of timeline? So people who ask me, am I on the right path? The answer is always yes. You know, it's impossible. It's impossible. That's a great psychic question, like easy to answer. But it's like, and I don't like the thing, like, have you learned your lesson? But we are like in this samsara thing. You can break through from it. So yeah, there is a moment when we will have enough of repeating the same pattern, and GI people start doing some coaching and doing using these tools, going to energetic places, like I was telling you about Sedona in the US, doing some rituals really help to cut the cord and say, okay, I'm done with this. Again, like the process is not necessarily linear, but again, using the intention, working on yourself so you see your own value. Because often if we attract narcissistic people, etc., again, it shows that part of us feels that we deserve it. And I know it's very hard to hear. I was talking about timing. You know, for example, it's been 3 years since I'm single. I mean, I've had a few things since my last relationship. And I know that the universe is doing this timeline, so I built this business, you know, because at that time, if I had a relationship, it would have distracted my energy. So it's understanding the bigger picture. So that's why holistic, psychic timing, etc., matter. And I help to guide my clients through this process. if it makes sense.
It does.
Mm. And I can't tell you how much beautiful it is to have like this connection to the spiritual, so that you filled up, you know, because again, energy, people use relationship to get filled up. But if there are an empty tank, then the craving and the dynamic is not like the one they're looking for. So it's important. But it's not easy, but it's worth it.
I don't know how to ask this next question without it coming across potentially as insulting. So please don't take it that way.
No, please, go for it.
So
I'm curious now.
Yeah. So for somebody entering an intimate relationship with you, do you think it's quite hard for them? And the reason I ask that is on the outside, because you obviously are so in tune. You can you know, if you and I were together, you could read my energy, you can see my ancestors, you know, almost exactly what I'm feeling, thinking before I know it. Is that sometimes hard for the man or woman that you're with to handle? Do you sometimes have to almost dial down the receptors that that wasn't meant to be that's not an insult about you at all, because you've been an amazing person to be in a relationship with, but because you are this receiver, almost like a radio antenna for feelings, sensations, emotions, everything, and
it's a lot to take in. No, don't be embarrassed at all, and it's a really good question. And a lot of people who are, and that's funny because I was reading about it yesterday, so good synchronicity as well. A lot of people who are on their spiritual path and who have maybe been through a lot and done a lot of work and maybe are very connected to themselves and source, etc., they can feel a bit isolated as well. And that's why a lot of my clients are on this path, more or less. At different level. And again, not saying that I am above or whatever. Everyone is on their own journey. But yes, for like the common, I don't know how to you, for the normal person, I'll say, it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in. And that's why also I post dating through, like, for example, dating apps. Because when I was going to dates, even without saying I was a psychic medium, there was like this thing about my energy that was very mysterious and things, you know. And then, forget it, if I tell them I'm a psychic medium, then the date looks like I'm interviewed in a podcast. So they don't see the person. And generally, these people, I'm like, okay, maybe it's better if you are my client's coach rather than I won't be your mama, I won't be your free coach. And it's okay. Again, it's people, it's not people being with wrong intention, it's just they are lost. They've never seen this energy before and they want it. You know, it's like, and I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but if you meet Jesus one day, you're like, oh my God, like, what is this energy? Give it to me. Like, can I stay with you? Can I bask in it?
Charisma. You can't learn charisma. And I mean it in the sense of charismatic, and almost in the religious sense, not in the he's got charisma, but in the almost that religious charismatic sense. You can imagine people following you in that way. So somebody dating you,
And that's why, like, the common answer that I've seen in the past years, and that's why also it was a really great work for my boundaries. Some people feel this energy and default it straight away to sexuality and try to put me in their bed. And it's okay, you know, but I'm like, look, sexuality for me is nearly like a cosmic tool. So I need to, I guess for anyone, not just me, it's important to be on the kind of same frequency approximately. Otherwise, one is going to be completely, it's like a moth going to the flame, you know. So yeah, I won't be everyone's cup of tea, that's for sure. And it's also my duty, because you were talking about like in a religious way. You know, I've had several lifetimes as a nun and mystic, so I'm very devoted to my spirituality. Mm-hmm. And that's why for me, my purpose will always be, even if one day I would love to have a family, honestly, but my purpose is first to serve, you know? And so if I see someone that is not aligned with me, how won't be able to handle the energies, and I let them go. But in terms of, you know, like your questions regarding the like my psychic abilities, etc., as a psychic medium, it's super important to be respectful of boundaries of others. So yes, you might feel something. Yes, you might see something. But if you are not invited, you are not their coach. It's like people who gives you a reading even without being asked. This is intrusion. This is really bad. And so that's why, you know, everyone has their path. And when you have a partner that you are psychic or like living your life, it's not your role to try to shape them and change them. And trust me, I've made this mistake in the past, you know? So it's for anyone is to really see who you have in front of you and not the projection of the image of you want them to be. See how you feel in their energy, how they're behaving with you and how it aligns. But really having this compassion, and even when they act in a way that doesn't feel aligned, be like, okay, it's their journey. It's not an insult, but it's just things don't align, and you continue your journey.
So is physical intimacy important to you, or the spiritual connections, the overriding?
Yes, because it's very important. Before I thought it was sex, but again, through my spiritual journey, I understood it's not just the only way, but it's my way to have, like, for example, astral projection, to get in a sense of like a cosmic and universal state.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a bit sad if I'm the only one going on this journey, you know?
Yes, like, a bit lonely.
Did you see like this thing? And you know, in some tantra tradition, like the woman is the initiator, which is totally fine. But again, it's until some levels. So for me, you know, like things, relationship, romantic relationship is really the last bit of my life that hasn't materialized per se. Mm. But I saw the whole rearrangement through business, through spiritual, through family, through friends. So I have this deep trust, you know. Of course, I'm human, and then sometimes I'm like, ah. But I receive so much love from my clients, from my friends, my community, which is filling my heart, which like this direct connection as well. And I know that, you know, like the right person will come on time. I don't need to worry. And even if it didn't happen, I'm happy with the life I'm living. So. And that's why I don't necessarily have like this craving like I had before, because I have all this energy field, you know, and you have also your own self-pleasure practice where you can connect. So that's another chapter. But yes, and I used to have lots of craving because I had this massive energy, but I didn't know how to channel it, how to focus it on. And this purpose really helped me to have this.
It's one of the sad things about society today is that we constantly read that there's more and more people are lonely, there's a loneliness epidemic, and people aren't connecting with other people in real life. You know, we have these amazing tools to be able to connect with one another anywhere in the world. You and I could be completely different sides of the planet and still be talking and connecting and engaging with each other. But there's this thing where people are more lonely and seemingly increasingly turning to
technology and
AI companions or AI replicants or AI girlfriends, AI boyfriends, AI mistresses, whatever. And I just wonder whether is that wholly a bad thing? So, like, if people aren't able to connect with somebody in person and they feel they've got a connection with a digital entity, and we're reading now about people marrying their AI companions, and I don't think that can be necessarily a good thing. I mean, where Where does that leave society if we are channeling in our relationship into something that isn't physical?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, again, if you watch the news, the word is fucked. Sorry for the language.
You're right. Yes, that's a perfect answer.
First, turn off your TV. Don't watch the news. First.
Yeah.
When you go outside, you see good people. So again, there is this, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying there is, to my psychic perspective again, there is this bigger agenda that wants us to be seen. If you look at technologies, they are just reproducing what we have as human being. Even like the ability to move things like telekinesis and stuff is part of our abilities. Telepathy is part of our abilities, etc. You don't even need a smartphone, you know? But anyway. So I believe it's happening. Yes, there is a section where there is a war of consciousness, basically, if we can keep it simply. It's like a bit like Star Wars, like the dark and the light. And yes, there is this agenda of merging human being to the machine until consciousness is locked, because we are very powerful beings. But we are not stupid either, or at least that's my perspective. And technology itself is not the problem, it's how we use it. Again, like social media is amazing, but yes, if you spend 5 hours at night, then yeah, it's a problem. So through awareness, we can rectify this. I see more and more in the dating world people leaving the app because they see, okay, it's not working, or using the app more mindfully. So I believe we are experiencing a massive shift. And of course, it's not something you're going to see in the news. And that's why you do this work and I do this work. It's to show that, yes, there is a movement that is happening. It doesn't have to be in the street. We don't even have to do anything. It's like just broadcasting our energy. In the past, a lot of people have been persecuted for this. Now there is such a movement that it is a wave. And again, without looking like a cheesy or hippie or flower power, like love against fear, love always win. So, and yes, talking to ChatGPT because you have a problem, I also do this. So it's they want us to think that the world is black and white, but it doesn't have to be. You know, we can have AI integrating in amazing projects. You know, we can and use like our humanity in the center. And people who are afraid of AI replacing their jobs, you know what? Go train yourself in holistic ways, because this can't be replaced by AI. And more the human is going to become so valuable, you know, because things are going to be automated. I don't think we can stop this, but we can use our humanity in a very profound way with like our intuition, our energy, our collective consciousness. And this is what some people want. And that's what how we strive together. And it's a lot to take in for some people, but it's okay.
It is, but I think you've just described it very, very clearly. And I do think the really important point you made was about almost that we need to lean into our humanity and what makes us human. That, like I said, ChatGPT, AI, generative AI, absolutely, it will replace certain tasks, certain roles. But to be fair, that's been the case throughout history. When I started work, there was a typing pool. So a room of about 40 women that you would write a letter on a piece of paper with carbon copy between it. You would send a piece of paper to the ladies. They would type it up for you as a letter. You'd get it about 3 days later and you would post it. So 40 people were typing letters, basically. That job doesn't exist anymore. You know, at the turn of the 19th century, 25% of people in the UK were employed in the farming industry. It's less than 1% now. So we've always had this thing where things have evolved and moved on. And I think we almost have this irrational fear that AI is going to take over our jobs. And I think what AI will do is hopefully it will take over tasks within jobs and help to automate some of the things that we don't enjoy doing anyway. But what it hopefully leads us to do and leaves us the time to do is to think and explore and learn. And it's funny, I remember saying to my son when he was 5 or 6 years old, said, I know what I want to do as a job. So what do you want to do? He said, I want to be a thinker. And that was when he was 5 or 6. I want to be a thinker. And that was his job. He wanted to think about things. And I think that's where we're getting to, I think, that we have more and more access to insight, data, information. But what that then requires us to do is to think about what it actually means for humanity, for the future, all of those things. And that's what I think we hopefully will start to recognize in the next generation or two, that society is about changing. It's about recognizing that we are connected in a very meaningful way. Without, you know, it's not about our phone running out of battery or anything else. We are all connected, and I totally agree. And I've always thought that our current life is energy. That we're always this massive energy, and we go through life, and our energy inhabits various bodies or various objects or whatever, and our energy carries on. So that energy is always going to be there. And it's just hopefully we'll get to be able to understand and be able to access and interpret the energy more. So I hope that's where society's going to go. And I feel it's going to.
Completely.
If we see AI as potentially enabling that, mm-hmm. it's a lot less scary than, oh my goodness, AI is going to destroy us all. Mm-hmm. So I refuse to believe that. I think I do hope and believe that AI is going to almost clear a pathway to allow us to access this energy.
Yeah, and by the way, I will have to go in 5 minutes.
Yeah, sorry.
No, don't worry. I love this conversation. Scientists have measured it in terms of Earth resonance. Like it has changed completely, which is linked with like people's psychic abilities all waking up, consciousness rising. And so that's why, you know, in counter effect, there is like more war, more fear to try to cover up this. But people can't. People can't take it anymore. And there is too much in the open. And that's also the good thing about social media is like information circulates a lot. Mm. The other thing is there is a war of misinformation. And so that's why developing our psychic abilities are essential. It's not to play psychic medium, it's just to understand where is the truth. And of course, there are lots of different truths, but it's like, does it feel right in my body? Am I being manipulated? What is my path? Because, you know, again, it's like, what is true? We can't. And that's where like the process of thinking is very difficult. And the downside of AI is like everyone don't think anymore because AI think for them. So again, having our inner cursor who tells us go there, don't go there, will be more and more important. But I really have no doubt that humanity can make it. And yes, it's a tough battle, but I see it, and it's not just the microcosm of my clients. I see it all over the world, and it's very exciting. And people create their own projects. They understand they have the power to create the life they want. Even, you know, you were talking about your children's studies. They can do anything. So yes, they have like the pressure of social media, but they also have like this calling from Earth saying like, now it's time, you know, now it's time to make things different. And it's not necessarily going in the street to protest, but to do the things and to talk in a way where people are like, you know what? Yes, of course. No need to be afraid anymore, you know, that's where we are. And that's when we talk together, we create the things that matters to us, even the little things that it changed the energy on Earth at a ripple effect. So I think it's a very exciting time to be alive, to be honest.
I think that's a perfect place to end for today. I can't wait to talk to you again. Thank you so much for that. You are amazing.
You're amazing too, Andrew. And this is so beautiful to see, like, again, like energetically how it flows, you know, like the listeners, it will be obvious to them. And I love how you're hosting your podcast. It's stunning.
No, it's have a wonderful evening. And I look forward to talking to you later in the week.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
All right.